If we've been your job search besties and helped you in some way, there's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
As an independent podcast, we couldn't do what we do without your support. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss.
If you keep us caffeinated, we'll keep the content coming.
Interviewers don't know how to ask what they actually want to know. We give them too much credit when we're like, if they want to know, they'll ask. Well, maybe they won't, and they're just going to wonder.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you guys all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey, Em, and welcome back, everyone. It's time for our favorite part of the podcast, the Shoot Your Shot shout out. I sometimes think I say that so quickly. Maybe some people don't even know what it's called. The Shoot Your Shot shout out. This is where we celebrate you guys, our incredible listeners. You've gone out there, you've listened to our podcast, you've used the advice, the tips, the tricks, and you've got an update for us. Em, this week, our shout out goes to Swan.
Yes, they said, "Hi, Emma and Sarah. I just wanted to thank you again. I've been listening religiously to your podcast for about 3 years now. I bought you some coffees 2 years ago when you helped me get out of a pretty toxic job, and I'm taking you out for a drink once again. My boyfriend was offered a position in a region we wanted to move to, and I was trying to find a job in the same area to join him. I work in sustainability, and our job market has taken a serious hit this year, so I was stressed out thinking I would never find anything. You were there every step of the way, seemingly reading my mind and answering the questions I had with every new episode. I was amazed because even when I thought, well, this episode's not relevant for me, but I'll listen anyway, there you were imparting precious words of wisdom, hope, and encouragement. So I'm happy to say for the second time, I've got the job. They even offered a 2K integration bonus. I never knew such a thing existed. Thank you so much for the work you do, shepherding us lost souls across the treacherous terrain of job searching. I wish you all the best. Swan, a super fan from France."
And thank you so much, Swan, for adding in a little, here's how you can pronounce my name. It's so helpful. We really do our best and we try and research every time how to pronounce someone's name. But at the end of the day, it's a bit of a guess because we don't even know often the country that someone's from or the language. So it can be challenging. I think that is so incredible. And the part that I love the most about it is this episode's not relevant for me because I think you just don't know until it is. And then you'll be like, wait, I remember something about this. I've got that stored in the back of my memory.
Yeah, definitely. And 2K integration bonus? Yes, please. That is so, so epic. And I love that you've circled back to us. You graduated, but then you needed us again. And that's the beauty of it. We're here whenever you need.
We're getting old now.
We are.
We're really catching people on their next job.
I was a second year journalism student when we started.
I know.
And I am now, I've been out of uni for 3 years. Interesting.
I've literally listened to you grow up, get your radio voice.
Yeah, when I listen back to the early episodes, I just cringe.
Me too. I feel like we need to go back and maybe redo some of them.
No, but it's history. It's authentic.
And also some of them I listen to and I do cringe with how we sound and how awkward we are or whatever. But I'm like, hey, the advice still slaps. Like,
exactly.
I stand by what I said.
If you want results like Swan and you need a little bit of help to get there, check out Sarah's one-on-one interview coaching sessions. She's got plenty of availability. She can help you get really stuck into a specific problem or part of your interview prep that you're struggling with. But if you kind of need help with the entire thing and you don't even know where to begin, Interview Academy might be right for you. You can get instant access, get stuck in, you can cram in a weekend, you can spend 2 weeks chipping away at it, and it'll be your interview Bible.
interviewboss.com.au/coaching to check out both of those. Now, if you liked one of our episodes, you used one of our tips, or you want to request an episode that you think might be helpful for us to do for everyone else, kindly follow us on Instagram and slide into our DMs, or send us an email. There's a contact form on our website. However you want to reach us, we're in a lot of places. Maybe you could be that person that we do an episode on next time. We love hearing these requests. It really helps us know what we can help you with. So this one came from Dee,
who said, "I love listening to your podcasts. You two are a dynamic duo who makes me laugh. I'm wondering if you're able to do an episode on applying for a job that's at a lower level from where you currently are, basically a step down, such as from director to individual contributor. What's the best way to convey this and explain this without sounding like you're a quitter? Also, if you're taking this step down to focus on family life, will that be received negatively by implying I don't want to work hard or that I won't prioritize my work, which is not true for either case. I'm in the healthcare industry and I feel like this industry sometimes gets a little bit neglected for job prep compared to other industries, marketing, tech, etc. Google came out with a program to help prep for interview questions and unfortunately, healthcare is not there either. Would love to hear your take on this." Oh, the poor healthcare baddies, they're suffering.
And it's a lot of people. I feel like if you went like teaching and then healthcare, that's like 50% of employed people or something. Yeah. Like it's a lot, just those two kind of spaces together. And personally in our lives, people around us bloody all work in healthcare.
Yeah, they're all public servants. Yep. And they also need our help because if they're nurses, that means they're doing selection criteria for every single job they apply for. It's panel interviews. It's grueling. It's all very by the book.
Very structured. And even if you work in private health or allied health, often those industries kind of borrow their practices and processes from the public sector anyway. So even though it is private, you can still find that you're doing selection criteria panels, like doing that whole thing where you're acting in someone else's job and then you have to apply for it and all that kind of stuff. I think it's because those industries, if you're thinking about like a hospital setting or something, those industries tend themselves towards like regulations, ratios, shifts, like there are solid set jobs that you need kind of people to do, which I guess is how that stuff kind of happens. Whereas in corporate, there's not really any set way you have to structure a marketing team, which is why it just can be like, well, we can build it however we want. And so everything's a bit more fluid.
And I'm okay with healthcare having structured, you know, I do want there to be four people on in the resus bay. So that works for me.
That's exactly right. So we will endeavour, Dee, to take that on board in our rest of our episode. I feel like we do try and give healthcare examples, but we will try and make sure that we include that.
Yes, representation matters. So firstly, you can absolutely have this come across the right way. Step one is to already be thinking about how it might be perceived on the other end. So you get a tick for the fact that this has even crossed your mind.
Yep, absolutely. And I think this is something people struggle with a lot, how to take that step down. And we've got another episode about being overqualified. Mm-hmm. And I think we talk about this a little bit there. People get this feedback and they're maybe a bit confused about it or whatever, but you can absolutely take a step down when it's a conscious choice and when it's communicated right. People understand. People really understand. It's not just something where it's like you're never going to be able to go back. People are always going to see you a certain way. You can do this. I just think there's some things that might help, which is what we're going to get into.
Yeah. So the best way to communicate your real reasons and not have the interviewer kind of come to their own assumptions or, you know, think that you're not capable in that role, that you're going to want to slack off or that you won't really be able to step out of the senior mindset, that you won't be able to actually take direction, is to just share your situation up front before you're asked. Get on the front foot and be a little vulnerable with it.
Yeah, totally. I think this is kind of like what we talk about with the elephant in the room, something you're not talking about, your career story, your intro. This is all similar type advice. You should be coming out with, hey, here's me. This is why I'm applying. I'm taking a step down because of all these reasons, before they ask you, why are you taking a step down? Like, I think people wait for those questions and it kind of sucks because the interviewer is often thinking that.
Mm.
They are thinking, why are you taking a step down? But a lot of candidates assume that they'll just ask you what they're thinking And I think that that's assuming a lot about the interviewer.
Yeah.
Interviewers don't know how to ask what they actually want to know. We give them too much credit when we're like, if they want to know, they'll ask. Well, maybe they won't, and they're just going to wonder.
So ordinarily in a regular interview, my thought would be that when they do the, hey, can you tell me about yourself, why you want this role? I would jump straight in and kind of give the career story and say, now that brings me to here. So I've been raising my family and, you know, it's been really hard to do the juggle. I'm keen to step back, blah, blah, blah. But my brain is thinking in a public service interview like nursing, sometimes they just go straight to a hardcore question and don't even ask the tell me about yourself. So can we be rogue? And if they do the first question like, all right, Sarah, can you tell me about a time you've managed multiple stakeholders? Could you just go, absolutely. But first, I just want to say and just like put it in there. Can we do that? How do we?
I mean, you could. I would be trying to weave it in. I would have that in the back of your head that we're trying to weave it in. But forcing it to the beginning of the first question, I think, is not being adaptable enough. I think that could be really weird a little bit. And I'd be like, okay, well, I didn't ask you that and you still haven't answered the question. I don't know. I think that would annoy me a little bit if I was on a panel where we had to ask the certain questions. I would have it in your mind that you want to weave it in. And so if it was a question about something that was a little bit more relevant, like following procedure or following direction or working in a team even, like something like that, maybe you could weave it in. Like I would be thinking about all the topics that are relevant to the job, where it might fit.
Mm.
And I would try and weave it in. Failing that.
Questions at the end.
And again, maybe you don't get questions at the end in a really structured interview. That would really surprise me though.
Yeah, I'm sure you would.
I feel like you would get questions at the end. And so I wouldn't then turn that into an entire tell me about yourself, because again, I think you're disrespecting the process. Like I'm sure people can tell by listening to all of our advice that I don't appreciate when people are like, how do I get around what they're trying to do in this process? We're not trying to break what they're trying to do. You have to respect they have set questions. They want to ask everyone the same thing, but we have something we want to get across. So questions to ask at the end, you could just say, yeah, look, I wanted to clarify a little bit about why I'm applying at this level and say something about that, and then maybe ask a question, because again, we want to try and fit into what they're doing. Like maybe link that to a question that relates to the job. Like, I mean, you could do the whole like, do you see any reasons why that would be a concern, or is that an issue or whatever, or have you seen anyone make that transition successfully, or would there be growth for this role in the future? And if that was open,
would flexibility work, or would that seem like, I know our listener said they were concerned about seeming like, well, I need all this flexibility because I have a family now, so I don't care about work.
Maybe you could ask about the leadership, actually, and the culture of the team, and like, hey, this is the move that I want to make. I want to be at this level. I'm really comfortable with this being right for where I'm at in my career. How do you think the team would take that? Do you think there's anything I could potentially do if I was to get this role to help them feel comfortable that I'm not trying to come in and take over? I don't know. Again, it's like kind of a question. It is a question.
Yeah.
But we're like kind of using it as an excuse to talk about our scenario. I think that's how you get that stuff across if you don't get given the opportunity. Hey, Interview Boss listeners, if the podcast just isn't doing it for you and you need way more help to prep for your next interview, we have the perfect thing for you. Interview Academy. Em, tell us all about it.
This is huge. This is the love child of Sarah after doing hundreds of one-on-one coaching sessions, finding out what people struggle with the most, common mistakes. Sarah has created the ultimate course that you can do in your own time, self-paced, heaps of modules, videos, interactive quizzes, a workbook that will become your Bible by the end that you can take with you into your interview. Because if you're a long-time listener, you know that we endorse taking notes into your interview. It's a game changer.
Check out more about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview academy.
Now tell me about the bad version of how trying to be honest sounds.
Well, I think it comes from the exact concerns that Dee talked to us about. Like those are the concerns people have. They think it's going to come off like they're slacking, or they think it's going to sound like they couldn't hack it. And so they try and say something without giving too much detail because they just want to make it sound like, I just think this role is a better fit for me right now, or something else glossy that's like, I'm just looking for something a bit different And you're like, but I don't, you haven't actually told me anything. Like, I still don't have any better of an idea now why you actually want to do this move down than I did before. And so that leaves room for me to make up things in my own head, which might be you couldn't hack it, maybe you got fired, maybe you whatever.
Which are terrible assumptions when the mind's left to wander, though.
They are terrible assumptions. But the reason that people think of those is because sometimes that is the case. And it's their job to try and work that out. And it's their job to try and understand, like, is this someone sitting in front of me who has bad references and, you know, had something happen and was investigated at this previous job? Like, particularly when we're talking healthcare, like, those are real concerns. And so that's kind of why they fill in the blanks. Someone who had that happen to them would gloss over it. They wouldn't share. And so, yeah, that's why we want to be actually giving something away. We need to be a little bit vulnerable with sharing.
And the good version could sound something like this. Yeah, so as much as I've really loved my roles doing XYZ and, you know, the XYZ that I've been able to do, where I'm at right now in my life with, you know, young kids, I'm looking for a role that allows me to continue to work with patients but without that added responsibility that comes with operating at that level. I've really thought about this a lot, and whilst I might take a leadership path again in the future someday, for now I know that this is the right thing, the right time.
Absolutely. See how we're actually sharing a little bit? Like, because the thing that they're going to be thinking about is, right, are you going to want to be back at that level in the near future? You've proactively addressed that. You haven't only said about now. You're like, hey, yeah, I probably, like, I did like those things. I probably can see myself doing that again one day. But we've added, like, someday. We're like, no. Yeah. I'm settling in. I want to just be this individual contributor who doesn't have to worry about the other stuff outside of
because
work.
Do you think a lot of bosses may be concerned, like, are you going to come in last a month and be trying to change the powers that be, and, like, actually you didn't want it?
Yes.
Yeah.
If I was interviewing someone who was making this move, that's exactly what I would try and understand. First of all, I try and understand their motivations. And their motivations is kind of half of it, because even if they do find it hard to switch off their, you know, wanting to change stuff or whatever, if they really, really want to do this level and they don't want the extra stuff that comes with it because they've made a choice about what they care about in life, that's half of it, honestly. I think what you sometimes see, and again, there's ways around this too, but what you sometimes see is people not being able to get a job at a more senior level, so they apply for something lower down. And I think that's what's in the back of people's minds. We talk a lot about they want to hire someone who can do the job, but they want to hire someone who can do the job and really wants to as well. So that's what they're trying to understand. Is this like a consolation prize where you're going to keep applying for something better, or is this actually where you want to stay?
But for our listener, this is preference number one. This
I know,
is what they actually want.
Which is why you have to be clear about that and be like, hey, this is actually where I want to stay. And just to what you said before about that coming in and wanting to change stuff, I want to see if you can kind of unpack, put yourself into the shoes of a hiring manager. Why might they be concerned about you taking this step? Like, they want to know, have you really considered it? It's kind of what you said before about, can you turn off being a director?
Yeah, it's probably all good and well in theory to tell yourself, oh, I'll get to go home and not be constantly stressed about staff and operations and things. But I think they probably think they haven't been in a situation, though, where the instincts are itching to wrap their tentacles around said problem and they have to resist, or maybe a manager gives them a directive that that's not how they would do it. So I think the concern is, yeah, it's all good to say that, but have you ever been tested in this space?
Yes. And again, that's why your resolve to do this is going to kind of overcome that, because yes, that transition might genuinely be a little bit tricky for you, but if you are really sure and you convince them, like, hey, I've thought about this for a while and this isn't something I'm doing on a whim. I am making this move. I've already stepped down from my director job. Like, you know, something like that could be really...
Or like, this is intentional. Me and my partner have had lengthy discussions over the course of 6 months or even into the end of my director role. Like, for the last 6 months of my director role, I was already going, this isn't for me anymore.
Yep. I think anything like that, that you can show that you are committed to doing this kind of with or without them, will go a long way as well. And addressing too, like, can you talk about the fact that, yeah, I have, you know, I will have to turn off some of those instincts of how I would do something or whatever. But the example that we gave just then, that's just an example. And I'm not saying that you have to say it like that. The point is it has to be real.
Yeah.
Like, whatever it is, if you have discussed it with your partner, if it is the long hours, if it's the travel, like, you have to actually share. That's kind of the point.
And another thing to think about in the rest of the interview is that you want to be conscious that your examples aren't too focused on look what I influenced or changed or took control of, because that can make it seem like you'll struggle to step back into taking directions from someone else. It's okay to have them in there. They're great, but make sure to keep things balanced. So throw in some individual contributor examples. I actually have done this before, where not with this manager experience, but I remember in the past you've looked at my best bit stories and said, oh, they're all so, I forget what it was, but they all showed similar theme. Yes. And didn't really reflect the other elements.
We did an episode about it. It's think about the balance. It's think about, are you giving examples that are all coming from a self-employed lens, or are you giving too many examples about a time where you, you know, were running campaigns and you haven't talked about the other parts of your role, like whatever it is? Or have you given too many examples about face-to-face patient care and you haven't got enough teamwork kind of examples where you've helped someone else, or vice versa? You've given too many teamwork and not enough where you've done it yourself. Like, we just want to be thinking about the balance of our stories that we're going to tell once you get to that interview stage.
Yeah.
Now, lastly, I want to address that concern that Dee had of that they're going to think that, like, she's failed at that level, that there's something else going on there. Like, they're going to see it as a negative thing. Like, they're not going to understand why she wants to do this. I understand where that concern kind of comes from, but I want to tell people, like, everybody gets it.
Mm.
Everybody gets it. Particularly whoever you're going to be interviewing with, they probably have those level jobs.
Yeah, they're the seniors that know how annoying it is, yeah, to be in the middle of family dinner at 7 p.m. and you get a call because someone can't fill night shift anymore. They understand.
Yes. And I think you just need to be able to articulate what are those things that you're trying to get away from. Like, for example, if somebody said, oh, you know, it's just the fast-paced nature of it all, like, it's just all so chaotic, I'd be like, well, isn't that the same?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that the same as an individual contributor? It's still chaotic.
You'd be like, unfortunately, you've chosen the wrong career in nursing.
Yeah. Or whatever the healthcare kind of related field it is. Like, you want to just make sure that you're specific enough that they understand what those actual things are about that role. It's the responsibility. It's the operating at a higher level. It's having to think about other people versus being able to go, hey, I do like the patients. I know this stuff. I can do it. I'm really confident in it. And it's something that I enjoy still. That's what I want to focus on doing. I want to have all this extra energy and mental capacity for other stuff. Cool. That makes sense. Whereas if you're taking the shortcut, that's when it can kind of sound like, well, what do you mean? I don't really understand what you're going to get out of not having this role. But people get it. People understand. It's not that unusual for someone to say, hey, I can do this job, but I don't want to right now.
Yeah, like, makes perfect sense.
It's very normal. I think most people will have that at some point in their career, even if it's not as dramatic as taking like an actual step down. They might just take a role with a different type of company, or they might not actively go for a promotion. Like, everybody understands.
It's okay to change your mind.
It is. And it can be just a season. That's why I really love that little example in the, you know, maybe I'll go back someday. Mm-hmm. I think it's nice to kind of be, and maybe you don't think that. I'm not saying you have to say that, but I think it's nice to kind of say, hey, like, I don't think that this want of me being a director is going to go away permanently in my life. It's just that I can't see myself doing that and I don't want to for the time being.
Yeah. Key takeaways: be upfront, be vulnerable, and be genuine.
Yeah.
Those are the magic ingredients to make sure they don't make assumptions and judge.
They're going to understand, and don't wait for them to ask you outright. You need to be upfront with it and sharing that information. And aren't they just the principles that we do things by here? It all comes back to those things, right? Just the specifics are a little bit different depending on the scenario.
Good luck, Dee.
Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, follow us on Apple or Spotify, or better yet, tell someone else about our incredible podcast. That's how we can hit the charts and reach more people all around the world. For more advice, inspiration, behind the scenes, all sorts of bits, check us out on Instagram at Interview Boss and chuck us a follow, or go and find me on LinkedIn and give me a follow. Can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something. And I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.